This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. We're going to get into what Tulsi Gabbard said. She said something that made everybody mad, and I'm going to address that here in a moment. And then we're going to get to more of the Democrat messaging around the rioting. Gavin Newsom is doing something so amazingly transparent, he might as well be a window. Emails and so much more. Plus, we have former FBI special agent Steve Friend joining us about a half hour from now. Now, Tulsi Gabbard put out a video today. It's got more than half the right, completely irate with her. It's 3 minutes long. I am not going to play it in its entirety, but in the interest of providing some context, I am going to play a lot of it, okay? We tried to cut out a bit because the response to it has been revealing. So here's what she said. There's video to go with it, but you don't need the video. Her audio does it enough. She's talking about the atom bombs we dropped on Japan, and then how she finishes it, and here she was.
I recently visited Hiroshima in Japan and stood at the epicenter of a city that remains scarred by the unimaginable horror caused by a single nuclear bomb dropped in 1945, 80 years ago. This attack obliterated the city, killed over 300,000 people, many dying instantly while others died from severe burns, injuries, radiation sickness, and cancer that set in the following months and years. Nagasaki suffered the same fate. Homes, schools, families, all gone in a flash. The survivors,
Just warning you now, she goes on for a couple minutes here about how horrible it was for the people on the ground and the aftermath. Just warning you now.
Fukushima, they carried the pain of extreme burns, radiation sickness, and loss for decades. Yet this one bomb that caused so much destruction in Hiroshima was tiny compared to today's nuclear bombs. The bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima had a yield of just 15 kilotons of TNT. Whereas today's nuclear warheads range in size from 100 kilotons to over 1 megaton. A single nuclear weapon today could kill millions in just minutes. Just one of these nuclear bombs would vaporize everything at its core. People, buildings, life itself. The shockwave would crush structures miles away, killing and maiming countless people.
Okay, now I can stop it there because you get the idea. And what happened after she put out that video is a bunch of people took that as dropping the bombs was the right thing to do. Why are you apologizing for America? First, couple things. One, let's start at the back end of this. I, as someone who actually believes that dropping the bombs was the right thing to do, I took that entire thing as a warning to avoid nuclear war. And I thought it was pretty transparently a warning to back away from any current or coming conflict because the prospect of nuclear war now is infinitely more terrible than it was when we actually dropped a couple of them before. I think that was fair. I mean, obviously, isn't that not obvious to everybody? Her purpose of this was, let's find other ways. Let's attempt to avoid nuclear war. And look, I'm not some Tulsi Gabbard super fan, as you know. I've been critical of her. I've expressed distrust, but it's very obvious that's what she was doing. But let's set that aside. People got angry about that. Are you saying it was the wrong thing? It was the only thing to do. We had no choice. So let's talk. Because there are things we should talk about. It's healthy to talk about. Dropping the atom bombs or bombing civilians at all, whether it's a drone strike today or whether it's an atom bomb on Hiroshima, firebombing Dresden, whatever it is. I personally, again, I don't want to be mealy mouth about the whole thing, so I'm going to give you my personal take on it. The way the Japanese fought that war, never surrendering down to the last man, it had America so convinced that so many troops were going to die when we invaded. Did you know we had already placed, I think it was the Department of Defense, had already placed the order for 250,000 body bags. That was the initial order that had already been placed, American troops. The estimates were 1 million, but who knows what the number ends up being. Japan had publicly announced that, I forget what their slogan was, it escapes me now, but it was 100 million of us will die or we will save Japan, essentially announcing we will fight until the last man, woman, and child dies. Women and children were training with bamboo spears. It would have been unlike anything that ever happened in human history trying to invade that island. Because of that, the way it was fought, all that stuff, because of that, I believe dropping the bombs to bring the war to an end was actually the most merciful solution, not only for us, for them. That's what I believe. That said, as much as I adore World War II, like every other middle-aged man, it is not my religion. And World War II has become a religion for people. It has become a religion for people, that you are only ever allowed to discuss it in this way. You're never allowed to question this or discuss that or even bring this up. That is how people approach World War II. The only other thing I've ever encountered that's similar to it is the Civil War, where if you have a different opinion about this general or this way or this strategy, people to this day, I mean, we're 200 years removed from the Civil War. To this day, I'm going to give or take, to this day, you bring it up in the wrong circle and people will be upset about it. They'll start screaming at you about it. World War II is the exact same way, and Tulsi Gabbard has had hate poured on her today from people thinking she was questioning that. And maybe she was, and given her personality type and whatnot, she probably was. She probably doesn't believe in it, but as someone who thinks dropping the bombs was the right thing to do, if you don't believe in hurting civilians in war, if you think bombing civilians, drone strikes, atomic bombs, if you think that is morally wrong and morally unjustified, that's a completely reasonable take to have. Completely reasonable. And we may disagree, and we do disagree on the atom bombs, if that's how you feel, but I'll never call you an idiot or anything like that. That's a totally reasonable take. And you want to hear what a religion World War II has become? Tulsi Gabbard's had hate poured on her all day for that take. That take that she had, let's say that was her take, hey, I shouldn't drop this, that was a very common take at the time. At the time, forget the atom bombs. Before the atom bombs even came along, bombing German cities with civilians in them, bombing Japanese cities with civilians in them was controversial at the time, not just by some limp-wristed media guy. Inside the United States government, inside the United States military, there were arguments. It's all written down, documented, long arguments. This is wrong. No, it's right. No, we shouldn't. No, we should. But because for some reason, I cannot figure it out, for some reason, the World War II has become this religion you're never allowed to analyze. You're never allowed to question this aspect of it or another aspect of it. And whenever anybody does bring up a, hey, maybe we shouldn't have, people react in the meanest, nastiest ways as if you've just spit on their child. You're allowed to have these arguments and debates about histories and wars and strategies and moralities. And it's healthy if you do have these debates. World War II is not a religion. It's the largest war, most destructive war the war ever fought. You're allowed to argue about the things they were arguing about at the time. Just wanted to clarify that. Now, let's talk about the riots. America and your children's schooling. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Don't forget, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I should give you a heads up. Depending on how the riot situation goes, tomorrow might be the history special I've been promising you. You're the one who chose the next subject. It's an incredible tale. It might be tomorrow, but we're going to have to see. I can't just drop it out there and go do history for an hour or two if the world's coming to an end, okay? But if everything remains as it is now, tomorrow we're going to dig into that. Cool? Now, speaking of the riots, this is not going to be about the riots, but I want to play a couple things for you. One of the LA rioters had something interesting to say.
And this was Mexico! You can't get this out of the land!
Hang on, let me start that again. Since Jewish producer Chris didn't have the soundboard on in time, he messed that up. I didn't, so you didn't get to hear the beginning of it. Sorry, Chris. I guess I could have covered for you there. I just didn't feel the need. Here is it in its entirety.
This is our city! And this was Mexico! You can't get this out of the land that was ours!
The land that was ours. Okay? Here's a former Univision anchor on CNN.
Remember that California was part of the of Mexico. All of the Southwest is Mexico. So the roots are really deep in that region.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that in a moment. Just don't worry. I'll address the actual matter at hand. But why are there so many people in this country that think like that? How is it that we have so many people in this country who think like that? Tell you what, let's go back to the news. Allow me to introduce you to a Mr. Ron Goches. Listen to what he has to say.
We saw President Trump give the order of the National Guard. And so for us as indigenous people to these lands, to this continent, this is nothing new. The military going after us is nothing new. The United States and this part of the country is a result of a military invasion of Mexico. And so we know what's coming. It's more repression. But what they have to know is that they're also going to face more resistance from the community. We don't want to be violent and we don't advocate for violence. But when they use brutal violence against our people and kidnapping mothers and fathers from children is violent. When they do things like that, we have every right, every historic right to defend our communities by any ways that we can, and we're going to continue to do so.
I asked, how did we get so many people in this country who think like that? That guy who just spoke, he's a history teacher in LA public schools. He's a history teacher. Remember how many times we've talked about this? That the communist is always conquering, always trying to find critical choke points of power so he can conquer it and spread his religion. He is an evangelist in every sense of the word. And remember how many times we've talked about the subject of history in particular. No, this is not why I love it. I loved it way before then. But as someone who loves history, I am constantly angry and mortified when I pick a subject, any subject, and I start reading on it. And I'll even maybe download a podcast or I'll go searching through podcasts trying to get different perspectives on things. I get so angry and frustrated at how often history, which you would think, you know, wouldn't have a side, of course. It's not left or right. It's just the facts and dates and stories and things that happen. How often history books, history podcasts are presented from the most filthy communist point of view, designed to put down America, the West, Christianity, white people, you name it. Well, that didn't happen by accident either, you see. You, because you don't have the mindset of a conqueror, and I'm glad you don't, you don't look at something like a history class and think to yourself, wow, I should go take that over. If I could take over that history class, if I could teach that class, then I would have year after year after year a new group of students, and I could teach them all how bad America sucks. You don't think in those terms. Even you look, you wouldn't even think that with what you believe. Hey, if I could just take this over, I could make sure everybody has to learn that America's great. You don't think in those terms. And that's fine. But we have to remember the communist does. That's how he thinks about things. And this is not about LA. And it wasn't about that particular guy. It's about you. And more specifically, it's about your child. Your child goes to school, most likely, unless you're homeschooling, which I love. But your child goes to school. And I'm telling you right now, there may be one, there may be 50, but there are communist predators in your child's school who grabbed that position, whether it's teacher, super or superintendent, principal, whatever it is, they grabbed their position in the education system and they grabbed it so they could spread the religion of communism into your child. That's why they're there. We have to be aware of this. It didn't stop because all this, quote, woke stuff got unpopular. It has not stopped at all. All these communist religious zealots are all right where they've always been, in front of the classroom, teaching your child to hate you. Just a reminder, all right? And another reminder, former FBI Special Agent Steve Friend is going to join us in a moment and talk about prosecuting these groups, these communist groups. Can we prosecute these people with RICO? We'll talk to Steve about that. Let me first talk to you about getting your dog another year or two. We all want that. Look, Fred is about five. Generally, Golden Doodles, it's not a designer dog. Generally, Golden Doodles live to be 10. That's about where they live. We give Fred rough greens because we want 11. We want 12. That big fluffy meathead, we want an extra year, and we feel like rough greens is going to give it to us. Veterinarians email this show all the time. Oh yeah, Jesse, I give all my dogs rough greens. Your dog does not get nutrition from dog food. This kills dogs early. Sprinkle rough greens on your dog's food so they can finally get antioxidants, probiotics and vitamins and minerals, all the things you need. Your dog needs them too. He's not getting them from the dog food. Give it to him with Rough Greens. Free Jumpstart trial bags, 833-33-MY-DOG, or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at JesseKellyDC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday with me, super healthy, fasting Jesse. Jewish producer Chris has been scornful of my healthy decision-making to fast today. Yes, you have. It is fasting, Chris. One protein shake, it still counts as fasting. Joining me now, former FBI special agent, and we're going to get to that here in a couple minutes, Steve Friend. Steve, have you ever done anything as brave as fasting for half a day with only a protein shake?
I one time tried to run a half marathon fueled by a half an almond, so you know, thoughts and prayers.
That sounds horrible. Why would you do something like that? Okay, focus. Steve, let's focus on some law enforcement things because you know a little something about that. My email inbox has been full of a bunch of people suggesting something pretty sharp. Taking down these communist front groups who fund all the street animals in this country. And everyone's using terms like RICO and whatnot, but you're the former FBI special agent with worlds of experience. I am not. Is that something that can be done? Explain to us what it takes. How's all this work? The floor is yours.
Yeah, it absolutely can be done. I mean, this is a complex financial investigation that you would hope the premier law enforcement agency for the country, the FBI, would be all over. The problem is the time it would require to do that. And also there are added complications to the fact that so many of these organizations are funded by the U.S. taxpayer via the NGOs that exist and then seek out grants. And then there's all these relationships that are crossing over between former members of the federal government and then lobbyists who go to Congress and get them. So it is a complex investigation. It is something that you would hope that would endeavor. The issue I think that most people are seeking is a more immediate remedy to the situation. And unfortunately, and there's a cultural problem that exists, not just in the FBI, but within federal law enforcement in general, where you see footage of people engaging in illegal activity that is on its face felonious, and you would hope that there would be an agent or some sort of officer of the law there would want to engage in stopping it, making the arrest. But frankly, you have federal prosecutors that have drilled it into the heads of so many of these federal agencies that they're unable to take action. So if you see someone throwing a brick or a concrete block through the windshield of a federal law enforcement officer's vehicle, so many agents will just say, well, we'll build a case and then we'll develop over time and have to prosecute this individual rather than just putting the handcuffs on them. And that's a cultural problem.
You mentioned that taking it down, you know, something like RICO or something like that would take time. Can you, as best as you can, explain it to a moron like me? How much time? Why so much time? Why is this such a long, complicated process? And I know you're right that it is. I mean, I know all about the mafia takedowns and things like that. It's not a week-long process, but why does it take so long?
Well, I mean, you have to go through the processes that are due to everyone, the due processes. So you would need to send subpoenas for bank records and eventually build yourself up to getting a search warrant and then also targeting individuals and knowing what where you need to actually take the investigation. And ultimately, it's going to require people who are willing to cooperate with the government because the numbers and the figures inside the bank accounts are going to be helpful. But, you know, unless you have somebody who's able to interpret that for you and has that insider knowledge, you're really going to be burdened to meet the beyond a reasonable doubt were you to actually take something to a trial. So that's why, you know, you reference the Al Capones and bringing down the mafia. Ultimately, it was his accountant who had to come forward and explain it to the federal investigators in that case. And, you know, the communists are nothing if not complete true believers in what they are doing, and being able to flip one or two of them is a challenge.
Speaking with Steve Friend, former FBI special agent, talking to him about taking down these groups. You mentioned federal prosecutors and how they've been working on federal law enforcement. Now these federal law enforcement agencies are almost, it seems, neutered from the outside looking in. Is that something that can be changed with a change in leadership, or is this such an, what I'm asking, Steve, is am I 50 years old and all I've ever done is eat donuts and not work out, and now I have to get back in shape and it's just going to be a brutally long process? Or am I, you know, almost there, but I need 6 months of hard work?
I think the latter is completely possible because there's a tremendous amount of discretion from your U.S. attorney's offices as to what sort of cases they take. And I mean, and just for your audience's awareness, a financial crime that is less than $1 million from a federal prosecutor will likely be declined. They won't take it. So it could be even larger in a larger city like a Chicago. I mean, they would take a $1 million fraud case and say, look, we've got bigger fish to fry here. So you're going to have to take that to the local prosecutor, but that's Cook County and they're dealing with lots of murders. So in essence, those cases are just never addressed. So a U.S. attorney who's appointed by the president, they could get that mandate. They could get to the frontline prosecutors and essentially tell them what sort of cases they have to take and what cases they should refer to the local, the county, or the state prosecutors that case. So it is a prioritization issue. Then the added challenge, though, you also have is for the assistant United States attorneys. Those are the people that are actually going to court. They're not politically appointed. So many of them come from the political left. Their sympathies are going to be with a lot of these individuals who are out there tearing up the streets. You're just going to have to engage in what the deputy director of the FBI has talked about, and that's personnel warfare. You're going to have to eliminate those people and bring in others who are more willing to do what the American people set a mandate for last November, and that's to address the crimes, the violent crimes that we're seeing across the country.
Steve, I'm going to ask the lamest, most open-ended question in the world before we get to the whistleblower stuff. But you mentioned, you know, $1 million, the U.S. attorney's going to decline it. Then it gets kicked down to local. If you're in the wrong jurisdiction, they just never address it. What percentage of major crimes are just never even prosecuted or attempted to be prosecuted in this country?
Oh, it's the vast majority of crimes. And we're in a situation where it's just sheer numbers. You've got 38,000 employees at an FBI, 14,000 agents, less than half of them are actually working on criminal matters. So then just look at the volume of people and evildoers who are out there. And then the robust law enforcement that you're hoping is going to be one to take that up at a local level. And so many of these matters are just turned over to them or just sort of zero filed and said, we'll get them another day. Or even if they are large in scope, the apparatus that we have is just not able to engage it. I mean, the Nigerian print scheme, I mean, that was basically allowed to exist for years on end until one enterprising agent said, okay, fine, I'm going to run this down as far as we can take it. But it's too often it's on the shoulders of one person who's just willing to put in the work.
Man, that is unbelievably sobering, but I'm glad I know that now. Okay, Steve, I obviously don't have to tell you, but FBI whistleblowers underneath Joe Biden, like yourself, gave up their entire careers to expose the naked corruption of the Biden administration and specifically the FBI and their conduct. What is, as much as you can tell, understand there may be things you cannot tell, what is the update on Steve Friend and Gerardo Boyle and everybody, Marcus, Kyle? What is the update on you getting an FBI badge again?
Well, I don't have an update at the moment. We were anxiously waiting that we'd get some sort of resolution as it stands. Marcus Allen is the only person that came forward within the Biden administration whistleblowers from the FBI who was able to negotiate a deal with the DOJ, with the FBI. He was reinstated on the understanding that he would immediately resign and receive his back pay. And he is also still fighting to get that. He was reinstated, resigned, and then now there is a holdup with getting his retirement account. There's, for the rest of us, we're sort of sitting in this limbo situation. We don't know, what our future holds for us. And, I'm at 995 days since I was removed. Gerardo Boyle is 1 week behind me. So we'll both likely be at 1,000 days here in the next 2 weeks and just sort of waiting to see if there is a spot for us or if it's just going to be an understanding where we can move on. But, unlike the other guys, like the IRS guys, where there is a resolution, the FBI seems to be lagging behind.
Okay. I just wanted everybody to hear that. Steve Friend, thank you, my brother. I appreciate you very much.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it. Always.
Telling you right now, I'm going to start getting upset. Heroes who gave up their career for us, for this country, deserve to be made whole more than anybody, more than anyone. I don't even just want them brought back. I want promotions. I want statues. That's what I want. I'm going to start getting upset. And if you're listening right now, and I know many people are, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to start getting upset. So if you want to take that as a warning, you take it as a warning. I'm going to start getting upset and I'm going to start getting loud about it if these heroes are not taken care of. Period. End of story. Now I'm moving on. Now let me move on to this. It is a heavy thing, I'll tell you, a very, very heavy thing when you lose a parent. Maybe you're familiar with this. And you start going through their stuff. Do you keep this? Do you sell this? Do you give it away? But the pictures, man. The pictures. Going through my dad's stuff has been heavy, I'll tell you that. And I wanted to thank Legacy Box for what they do, because Legacy Box, what they've given me is the ability to look at that on my phone. If I want to see my dad, I have those pictures right there on my phone. Home movies, they're digitized. They're right there on my phone. They're right there on the website. Get that stuff done now. Don't wait for someone to die. Get your hard photos, your home movies, your camcorder tapes digitized now. They digitize them by hand, And it's not some nameless, faceless machine in China. It's by hand in Tennessee, by family people just like you and me. Get it done now. I've never seen it 50% off before. LegacyBox.com/Jesse gets it 50% off. Go. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Never fear, the fast is almost over. We're going to hammer some cheesesteaks at the end of this, and we're going to be just fine. But I'll tell you, I've had something else on my mind before we get back to the politics. It's been on my mind a lot lately. You know, it's probably pride. I'd guess that's what it is, but human beings, all of us, we want to be acknowledged when we do something well, don't we? Don't you? When you do something great in school or sports or work, or maybe you made a great dinner or something, don't you want to, hey, Mom, that was delicious. Hey, Bill, great job in the office today. Human beings want to be acknowledged when they work hard and do something great. It's human nature. And I'll tell you, I'm no different. I have never, well, never is probably putting it a strong way. It's probably been 30 plus years since anybody acknowledged how great I am at dodgeball. People don't think about it. They just never acknowledge it. And when I tell people about it, it's like they think I'm kidding, that I don't know how to play dodgeball. And here's where people make the mistake. They look at me and they see that I'm 6'8", so I'd be a big target. And they find out that I'm slow, so I can't get out of the way. And they think to themselves, you're lying. You're not great at dodgeball. That's a lie. But here's where people miss it. They forget that in dodgeball, it's not necessarily a game of dodging. That's just in the name. It's a game of throwing and catching. I'm an excellent thrower, and I'm an even better catcher. I don't have to dodge the ball you throw at me. I will catch the ball, and then you're out. In fact, in dodgeball, you want to catch the ball. You don't want to dodge it, because you catch it, he's out, and you didn't even have to hit him with the ball. And then you get a 2-for-1 because his boys are laughing at him. Ah, ha, ha, now you're out. And then boom, you bonk one right off his buddy's face. 2-for-1, gone. You removed him from the board with your incredible catching skills, because I have amazingly big hands. You remove him from the board. You bounce one off his buddy's face. You just took out 2. Understanding that, plus my natural catching skills, is what made me the dodgeball player I am today, and nobody has ever acknowledged it. And all I'm saying is, something would be nice. What? Why are you shaking your head, Chris? Some sort of a look. If it's not a statue, I get it. What about a trophy? What about a plaque? What about, look? How about a simple, Jesse, I admire your skills. Never. What, Chris? What? Why don't I buy my own trophy? I will. In fact, now I think I'm going to. Just because I can tell you don't want me to. Now I'm going to. If I have to acknowledge me because nobody else will acknowledge me, I'm not above that. I'm not above that. I'm above other people when it comes to playing dodgeball, but I'm not above that. What, Chris? But one more thing on the education system. Why do we have a bunch of people in this country who think this stuff?
Remember that California was part of the of Mexico. All of the Southwest is Mexico. So the roots are really deep in that region.
Headline. Indiana teacher resigns after wearing 8647 Trump shirt on a school trip. We have a bunch of people who believe these things because they've grown up in America's education system and they've been taught forever that America sucks, that America's evil. Where'd they learn it? They learned in school. Jesse, this guy says Leatherneck, actually. Combat Marines in LA is great if they don't have a leash. What happens if they aren't allowed to respond to violence? Been there, done that in Iraq. Semper Fi, brother. Semper Fi, my man. Well, he brings up an excellent point. It doesn't matter who you bring in. You bring in the Marines. Good. I want them there. You want to smash these protesters. Good. I want them smashed. What are you allowing or not allowing them to do? Because we had our troops, Iraq, Afghanistan, in situations where they were told they had to be shot at first before they could shoot back. Just insane combat engagement things. Now, I realize we're not in Iraq, Afghanistan, and I realize we don't want the Marines going in and mowing a bunch of people down. That's not what I want. That's not what you want. But are they going to have live ammunition? What's the authority? What are the rules of engagement? And don't think these guys aren't painfully aware of the fact that there's a bunch of filthy commies in this country who would love to destroy their careers and throw them in a federal prison. They know that. They know that. Are we going to turn these guys loose in a way they can protect themselves and protect the community? I hope so. And I have to assume Trump, Pete Hegseth are going to do so. Now, let me talk to you really quickly about Hillsdale College, about free things. The second somebody tells me something is free, something's at no cost, I immediately am suspicious. Aren't you that way? I am. I always think to myself, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Hillsdale College offers online courses free, and there's no catch. Hillsdale College has all this knowledge, this unbelievable vat of wisdom and knowledge. They have these so many great professors and administrators there. But who can get into Hillsdale? I can't get in. I never had the grades. They don't want all that knowledge to only be for Hillsdale students. More than 40 courses are available online free. Understanding capitalism. You think that might help? Understanding these times? Things like that? Go. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you enroll. There's no cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.